Well, welcome back to session 6 of 8 concerning what is reality. Today we're talking about making a connection with God. Very, very important subject. And so we want to get right into it. You can turn your Bibles over to John chapter 15 if you'd like, and we're going to get there in just a moment. One of the things I want to share again, because the book of Genesis, as we've already made comments about, the things that took place in the interaction between God and Adam and Eve, are so important. We want to again enlighten you to some of these thoughts. Adam and Eve before the fall, let's just think about this for a moment. Everything was provided for them. There was no drama. God didn't have to reveal himself as Jehovah Rapha, which he did later on in Exodus and chapter 15, because there was no sickness. In other words, when the connection was good, man didn't have any problems at all. It was when Adam and Eve sinned and the connection was broken that man began to experience drama. Or you could say it like this, and I've made this comment before and we'll make it again. Before the fall, man was a spirit being connected to God. It didn't mean he didn't have a body. It just meant the body didn't have the supreme or the number one importance. What was important was God and Adam being connected as spiritual beings. Now, after the fall, man turned into a flesh being connected with the world. Notice I'm making the word connected, connection. This is what we're talking about. After the fall, man was more connected with his flesh and the world than he was as a spirit being connected to God. In fact, another illustration of this is looking at the disciples, the 12 disciples, as they walked with Jesus during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. How many times do you see that the disciples were sick, that they were broke, that they were experiencing trouble? No, on the contrary, you see that as long as they were connected to Jesus, there were no issues. Now, they could create their own issues, and at times they did. For instance, squabbling over who's going to sit at the right hand of God. Well, again, that's an issue. They made those choices. But as long as they were with Jesus and were connected, they didn't have any problems. There was no sickness. In fact, you could say this. One of the 12 disciples was Dr. Luke. Once he connected to Jesus, we don't have any record that Dr. Luke ever went back to his practice as a physician. He had the great physician with him. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we could say it like this. It's the thoughts and the feelings that we have toward the world that make worldly choices. Then we can turn that around and say it's the thoughts and the feelings that we have towards God that make what? Spiritual choices. Okay, so let's talk about John chapter 15 for a second and verse 7 and 8. It says, if you abide in me, and this is the Amplified, and abide means to be vitally united to me, and my words abide in you and continue to live in your hearts. Ask what you will and it shall be done for you. When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and he's glorified. And to show you and to prove yourselves to be true followers of me. To abide in Christ means to stay continually connected. It's kind of interesting how these words work together so well. So right now we're going to use this word connection and being in Christ or abiding in him along with the idea of a marriage. In other words, how sad it is that husbands and wives years later after they've been married can lose their connection and basically just live in the same house, walk past each other, and there's no spark, there's no connection. Well, there's nothing that's progressing in their relationship. So let's back up for a moment. How in the world did they ever get connected in the first place? Well, a connection takes three things: time, tangibility, and shared experiences. So if you'll think back, guys, to some of those days when you were courting that beautiful lady, you wanted to spend more time with her. In fact, you might have had a Thursday night bowling league, and you and the guys, I mean, it was just a ritual. Years you've been doing this, and they could count on you, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you tell the guys, hey, guys, I can't make it Thursday. And then they're going to question you. Well, what's going on? Well, I've got a hot date. And I'm sure you're going to take a bunch of ribbon from the guys, but why do you want to go out on that date when you've always been with the guys? It's because your affections are beginning to change. You want to spend time with this gal. You want to have shared experiences with her, and you want to have tangibility. All right. Now what begins to happen is, the more time you spend with her, the more tangibility there is, the more shared experiences you reflect on, the greater your connection becomes, and it literally comes to the point where next year, you're not even a part of the bowling league. And you've had to tell your friends, listen, I love you guys, but man, I love this girl more, and I'm going to spend time with her. So notice what's beginning to shift. Like I said earlier, it's the feelings and emotions that you have for the world that cause worldly choices. Same thing exists with God. It's the feelings and emotions you have towards God, which will create what? Spiritual choices. All right? So let's just say it like this. The more your affection, the more your emotions are toward the Lord. Well, how do you produce more affection and more emotion? This shouldn't be rocket science, but when it comes to spiritual things, it's very interesting how it seems like we go brain dead. When it comes to the things of this world, we seem to be so proficient using our intellect. In other words, somebody sits down with a counselor, and the counselor says, well, how much time are you spending with each other? And the husband and wife look at each other and say, well, we're not spending a lot of time with each other anymore. We seem to be busy doing our own thing. Well, how much tangibility do you have with each other? In other words, how much are you around each other to be able to touch one another and to be able to communicate, see one another? Well, we kind of see one another in passing. We're really, really busy, and I have my things, and of course, the kids are growing up now, and we're just running back and forth with each other. So the counselor would say, so there's not much shared experiences, are there? No, we don't really have too much experience. So it looks like you're losing your connection. Come on, let's think of this for a moment here. Anybody knows that even when you have a toddler, you put those little protective caps on the plugs there where the electricity is, the outlets, to make sure that they don't put their little two fingers in those the outlet and find themselves a serious connection with electricity. Because I know in my house, I have four women in my house, my wife and my three daughters, that when it comes time to using their hair dryers, they either work or they don't work based on whether they're plugged in. And if they plug them in at the same time and turn them all on at the same time, I probably have to go out to the breaker and flip the switch there and get things back on. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Electricity, when it's flowing, makes a connection. Well, when we're not making a connection with God, this is what contributes to what? Not really being aware of God, not really having a consciousness of God, and probably most important to people, you don't have answers to prayers. Well, we want to change that here, and this is the reason why we're looking at some of these thoughts concerning abiding in Christ. So, to abide in Christ, to stay continually connected, I know this is going to sound a little bit too simple, but really it comes back to the choices that you make. I want you to turn over to Deuteronomy in chapter 30 right now, and verse 19. We're going to read this because it's going to enlighten us concerning making choices. I can almost hear individuals, their minds thinking for a moment. Well, if you're talking about making choices, then you're talking about getting back under the law. The law's all about you have to do this and you have to do that. Well, no, we're not talking about getting back under the law. We're talking about the fact that when you were saved, you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's not a relationship with the Bible that mentions Jesus very often. It's a relationship with a person. And that means we need to cultivate that relationship. We need to enhance that relationship. We need to grow that relationship. And you do that by making choices that causes you to have more time, more tangibility, and shared experiences with God. That's what makes a connection. So this is not legalistic thinking. This is protecting your relationship thinking. In fact, when I go out on the road, I protect my relationship. And I thank God after all these years, I've not had any difficulties at all. I've not had any slip-ups at all. And to be honest with you, I've not had one situation where anyone has ever come, any other woman has ever come to me in any way, shape, or form in an unworthy manner. Why? Because I'm protecting my relationship with my wife. In other words, the choices that I make cause others to feel whether or not I'm approachable or not. Well, I'm sharing something that might be personal, but what I'm endeavoring to do is help you to see that we have to protect this relationship with God. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19 says this, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, for I've set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life that you and your descendants may live. Now let's just take this for a moment and look at this. You could say there are five entities mentioned. I'll say it like this, life, death, blessing, cursing, and then you, the one of the subject of this matter. So of all these five things that are mentioned, who has the choice and who doesn't? This is really important for you to get, and it's very, very simple. Let's say it to you this way. Life has no choice. Blessings have no choice. Death has no choice. And cursings have no choice. But you're the one that has the choice. Well, the reason I bring this up is because if you went into your family buffet and you went ahead and went through the lines and you came back to your seat, and of course you're there with friends and your plate is loaded this high with food, you can't say to your friends when they say, oh my Lord, how much food do you get? You can't say, listen, I just put a couple things on that plate. I have no idea how all this food got on my plate. I mean, I turned around and there it was. No, the real truth of the matter is your food doesn't have a choice. The ham doesn't have a choice. The bacon doesn't have a choice. The roast beef doesn't have a choice, but you have the choice. Now, choosing wisely causes your plate to be blessed. Choosing unwisely causes your plate to be cursed. Can we see how this is working? Because making a choice with God has everything to do with how we choose either life, death, blessings, or cursings. My friend BJ, you know, the cowboy who's experienced God in some really wonderful ways. In fact, we have a radio show together that we do called The Abiding Presence. You can find it on www.theabidingpresence.com, or you can find it on my ministry website, jimhockaday.com, and just put the radio show button and it'll take you over to the website. But BJ's always said this as a horseman all his life. I like his comment. He said, I knew in my life, if I wanted to progress as a horseman, that I had to take some of the tougher cases because you're only as good as your last horse. Maybe if we related that thought to Christianity, we could say in the Christian world, you're only as good as your last choice. You're only as good as your last prayer being answered. Now, I know this will cause you to think a little bit, and it may even cause some sadness. But the point is here, and it's a really good point, this is the reason why all sins have been forgiven. Because God knew ahead of time that we were going to make some bad choices. Aren't you thankful that He wiped away all of our sin? That means making a bad choice doesn't have to be the end all of where you're going to end up. Because the moment you recognize you've made a bad choice, immediately you have the opportunity to do what? To make a good choice and to put yourself right underneath the spigot and spout of God's love and God's grace. Thank God there's a continual cleansing of all of our bad choices so that we can operate in the grace of God, or in other words, so that we can have complete tangibility to God Himself. Let's think about this a little further as we turn over to Acts in chapter 26. And we'll look at verse 17, and we're going to look at verse 18. This is a good scripture here, and in the Message Bible, I like how it reads. It says, I'm sending you off to open the eyes of the outsiders so that they can see the difference between dark and light. Choose light. See the difference between Satan and God and choose God. I'm sending you off to present my offer of sins forgiven and a place in the family, inviting them into the company of those who begin real living by believing in me. Well, don't you like this? This is awesome. I love how this says that our job is to present the gospel so that people can make choices. I like how it says, present the gospel and show that there is light versus darkness, so people can choose light. That there is Satan versus God, and people can choose God. And by doing so, they begin what's called real living. Well, people are losing their ability to make choices today. If you haven't noticed, in the culture that we live in the world that's making choices for us, there's so much entitlement going on that people want other folks to actually make choices for them. I'll give you one simple idea here, and it's very good. Ladies, if your husbands during the Christmas season are going shopping, probably one of the things that you tell them to do, if they don't know already, is, remember, honey, keep the receipts. Now, why do you want to keep the receipts? And of course, the answer is, in case you need to take what you bought, your purchased item, take it back. Well, then ask yourself the question, what kind of a choice am I being challenged to make if I can always take it back? See, if you were to go to a sale rack and it said, final sale, no returns, what kind of a choice would you make then? Now we're coming back to some of the things that we've been sharing and some of the things that you're going to hear about absoluteness. We have to become absolute in the way that we make choices. Because everything about God is in the absolute sense. Now notice, if you're constantly being able to make choices and then renege on those choices, you make choices and then just pull out, oh, I'm going to take it back, I have my receipt, then we're never learning to make a choice with a conviction that's full of what's absolute. Folks, making choices is how you allow God to be a part of your life. Making choices either hinders God's ability to work in your life or it gives access to God working in your life. Come on, keep this in relationship to the relationship between a husband and wife. And you'll see that making choices, men, either allows your wife freedom to express herself as a wife and brings the best out of her, or some of the choices you make literally causes her like a flower just to close up, and then you can't get anything out of her. Well, folks, there's something that's so real in this towards God. Because remember, this isn't about worshiping a God that's on printed page. This is about worshiping and experiencing God who's a living and alive being. Now, these are some of the things that people had to do, and they had to make choices years ago in the Bible. We can see references to this. And before we get to that, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, I want to read this because here we are exhorted by the Apostle Paul to literally examine ourselves to make sure that the choices that we make are allowing God to have access in our life. Let's read this verse of Scripture. It says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. This is the Message Bible. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Christ is in you. Do you like that firsthand evidence? Test out and see if you pass the test. If you don't, do something about it. Well, I like this firsthand evidence because what he's saying is begin to reflect upon the kind of choices you make on a regular basis. Because if you're finding that your prayers are answered, if you're finding that you're hearing the voice of God and you recognize His presence and you're walking with God where you know He's there and you're experiencing Him, then friends, you're making the kind of choices that facilitate a really wonderful love relationship. And yet, if you could say to me, Jim, it's as though I don't know where God is. I've never heard Him speak to me. I don't know if I've ever had a prayer answered. And to be honest with you, I don't know what it's like even to sense His presence. Then what that says is your affections and your emotions and your feelings are for the world of the flesh. And that's why your choices that you've been making have caused you to be in the way where God's not able to work with you. I think of the woman with the issue of blood for just a moment. And as I think of her here, she's 12 long years suffering with that issue of blood. But when she hears about Jesus, she says to herself, if I can just touch the hem of His garment. In other words, to touch the hem of His garment is to make a connection, a physical connection with Christ. And what does she do? She makes a choice to leave the side of the street that was where she was quarantined by the priests with a flow of blood to no longer be able to mix and mingle with society that didn't have diseases. If she crossed that street, it was the point of no return. Anybody could stone her once they recognized that she was a woman that had a flow of blood, that she had a disease. But she made that decision, not only to cross that street, but to mix and mingle with the people. And she came in stealth behind to say, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made completely whole. Notice that her choice caused her and put her in a position where faith towards God pulled that power right out of Jesus and into her body, and she was healed of the affliction. In other words, she received an answer to her prayer. How come she received that answer? Because she made a simple decision to get out of her own way and to touch Jesus. I think about Abraham. He was asked by God to sacrifice his son on the altar. Well, think about that. God spoke to Abraham and said that the seed that you will have, in other words, the child that you will have in these old ages, will be the seed that will produce a multitude of nations. And yet, once he's a young man, God says, take your son now up onto the mountain and sacrifice him and burn him on the altar. Abraham didn't say a word, but while he was traveling for those 3 days, Hebrews chapter 11 tells us, in a figurative sense, Abraham figured out what God wanted him to do. In other words, he figured out that Isaac is the seed. And if I'm to kill him, that means God has to raise him up out of the ashes. And it said before Abraham even took him up on the mountain, he already received him back from God in a figurative sense. That's why he said to the servant, the lad and I will go onto the mountain and we will worship there and we will come back to you. He knew what he was about to do. That's why he bound him and put him on an altar. And he took his knife and was about to slay his son when God called to him and showed him a ram in the bush, a proper sacrifice. Friends, I want you to see that life will throw all kinds of circumstances at you. But it's the choices that you make that honor God that allow God to do the big thing in your life. People want so much to have the miracle, the sign and the wonder, but they're in the way with their choices. Oh, God, would you please help me? Oh, God, maybe we can get everybody to pray. Maybe we can just, you know, try to rebuke this. And all the things that people do that build tangibility to the flesh instead of giving their honor and tangibility to God. Folks, I want you to see this today, that the connection that we have with the Lord needs to be just like a love relationship that a husband and a wife have, where you begin to cultivate that relationship and the closeness of that relationship by making a connection each day, which has to do with time, tangibility, and shared experiences. I want you to think about these things as we move on to session number 7. But in this session, your connection is so important. And I want you to know that God did everything he did in Christ to not only connect you, but then to keep you connected for the rest of your life. I'll give you one last illustration. You have yourself a cell phone. It may have the fastest processor on that cell phone, but whether or not you've got 5 bars on that, in other words, whether you've got a good reception, has everything to do with whether you can call somebody, make a good connection, and keep that phone call. Folks, the choices that you make build bars on your cell phone. In other words, give you great reception with God. He's there for you today. Don't think that he's hiding. He's actually trying to be seen by you. So make that connection. Give yourself to simple, small choices that reflect on honoring grace, honoring God, and letting God then have access into your life. Thanks so much for being with us. We'll see you again on the next session. And just keep these thoughts with you. Begin to do something with it, and you'll begin to grow in your tangibility with God. Thank you so much.